Shall I tell you about my life? They say I'm a man of the world. I've flown across every tide, and I've seen lots of pretty girls.
Lucky Colour. Persistent banging on the bedroom door woke me from a deep, troubled sleep. Where the hell was I? Where was Carmen? Why was I lying on this single bed? I emerged a little further from my coma. Carmen was shouting through the door to me.
Juanito, si quieres ir a ver a la bruja, te tienes que apurar.
What? Speak English, Carmen. I am ill. Speak English to me.
If you want to consult the witch, you have to hurry.
Witch? What witch? What the hell was she on about?
My mother has made an appointment for you at 7:30. We have to hurry.
I looked at my watch. 6:44 a.m. It was scarcely light yet.
Juanito, levántate, por favor. It is the only appointment she could get, the first one of the day.
I remembered now, the whiskey inglés. The evening before, I had been depressed, exhausted, bewildered and sick. I was sick and bewildered because of the jet lag and El Soroche, the altitude sickness. My nose and throat were dry and sore from the air conditioning on the plane. I was exhausted from the long flight. I was exhausted and bewildered from speaking and thinking in Spanish for the whole day, from hearing a babel of voices, all speaking at once, the whole enormous family speaking at once. I was depressed because I had agreed to marry Carmen. I was depressed because I had agreed to buy a house, or rather a mansion, in Bogota, near her parents' home. A mansion which would cost me only £50,000, but a mansion nonetheless. I was depressed and cross because I could not sleep with Carmen under her parents' roof. Above all, I was depressed because I suddenly felt a long, long way from home. And so, I had eaten very little and drunk very much of the whisky inglés brought especially by Tio Alfonso for me, el nobilista inglés. Drunken and bored, I had feigned interest. I had agreed to see the witch. I fancied driving the brand new black Audi, the car they had used to pick me up from the airport, but Papito needed it later for his weekly outing to the Club Militar, where he would pretend to play golf with some of his army buddies. Carmen's father boasted he knew all the generals. Many of them were business contacts. He said they were tios queridos, really nice guys. I suggested we take the silver Merc convertible, but Carmen pointed out that it was Thursday and we had to use Mamita's green shopping car, the ancient Peugeot 206. What? I put on my hurt expression.
Pico y placa, Juanito. Ven, hombre, apúrate.
Speak English, Carmen. Call me John. Today I am not Juanito. I am John. I am sick. My head hurts. Call me John. I remembered. Pico y placa. On Tuesdays, Thursdays and Saturdays, only vehicles with odd-numbered registration plates could be used during peak hours. The manky little green Peugeot it was, then. Carmen drove. I drank coffee from the thermos handed to me through the window by the maid. It was bitter. Carmen tried to make small talk, but in Spanish, and so I did not respond. I wanted to make my point. We drove the 12 blocks in silence, through heavy traffic. Carmen parked the 206 at a jaunty angle in the car park of a shopping mall, taking up two parking spaces. We walked through the mall to an office block. The witch had an office on the second floor, number 206, with a green door. I thought about making a witty comment about green 206s, but I was still grumpy, and so I said nothing. A plaque on the door read, Ana Morales, Horas Diarias de Consulta, from 7:30 to 11:30. No mention of witchcraft then. Curiosity overcame grumpiness. Why only in the mornings? I think it is very tiring work. The afternoon she must rest, explained Carmen. What does she do in the evenings? Stick pins in wax effigies of clients who don't pay? Carmen rang the bell. The witch's receptionist was her husband. He looked disapprovingly at the clock. It was 7:31. He took my 50,000 pesos and ushered me into the consulting room, which reminded me of my headmaster's study. The witch sat at the far end, behind a massive, imposing desk. She did not stand up to greet me, but pointed me to a seat opposite hers. She was in her 50s, plump, with neatly arranged grey hair, which reminded me of my mother. She wore a navy blue business suit, immaculately pressed, what in Spanish they call a serious suit. There was a minor scuffle behind me. Carmen had followed me into the room, attended closely by the receptionist, and spoke very quickly to the woman. The witch remained seated. She pointed to the door. You may not come in, señora. It is not permitted. If the gringo does not understand, then it is too bad. She spoke slowly and distinctly. Carmen need not have worried. She looked me up and down. Usted no es Yankee. This was more of a statement than a question. I agreed that I was not a Yankee, but an Englishman. She asked my date of birth, wrote it down on a piece of paper, then dropped large blobs of different coloured inks on the day, month, and year. She folded the paper several times, and then pressed my thumb down hard on it. She opened the paper and considered it in silence for a full 2 minutes. I began to shuffle in my seat. Eventually she spoke, for a long time. I was worried about some papers, documents. I was to receive news from afar. I would make two more journeys, one long, one short, and the short one would bring peace and tranquility. I had family pressures. Who didn't? It was all cheap fortune-teller crap. She went on. I had been in a bad mood for the past week. Well, at least that was true. I had two children. A good guess? You have cancelled a flight. I hadn't. I shook my head, triumphant. I was selling something. What was it? She asked. Something big. I couldn't think of anything. She looked disappointed. 30 all. You speak to your daughter about sorrow, grief, sad things. Postgrado, in a distant country. She will soon have great success. The witch was suddenly on a hot streak. Confident statements came tumbling out of her mouth, slowly, deliberately, in an apparently random order. Only one other time in my life, at a horror movie, I am ashamed to confess, have I ever felt the hairs stand up on the back of my neck as they did that morning. You have had two great loves, both in the past now. Is your son married? His woman is pregnant. The baby will arrive early, in June. She will bring you much fortune. Uncanny. The baby was due in July. I see someone very important to you. She has met your people. Anna. Anna M. Anna Maria? Who is she? She is medical. Two women love you. ¿Quién dicta clases? A woman. Did she mean Marianne? She was a doctor. Dicta clases. A university lecturer? I ran through the possibilities. I am fairly certain that I blushed.
You are not settled. You are travelling everywhere for your work. You will have a great success in your business. Many people admire you. Many think you are a good man.
What do you think? I asked. Am I a good man?
You are a man.
A short pause.
You are an artist.
I pursed my lips. She took my hand, turned it over.
A writer, I see victory.
Then she burst out laughing, a great belly laugh.
You are thinking about your shoes.
Another pause, then she continued, her words coming in short bursts, like machine gun fire.
You will have success in Canada. You are divorced. Your ex-wife, she weeps very much. She is unhappy. Your son has money pressures. He has had two loves. The first, bad. There is a married woman. You will have success with her. I see a death. I see a serious illness. Two different people. They are close to you now. This will affect you greatly.
By now I was convinced. There were plenty of candidates for death and serious illness, at least. She went on to tell me I would have 3 grandchildren, that I was very stressed, that a woman called Cecilia was very worried about me. My masseuse in London, who worried about my stress levels, was called Cecilia. She told me she saw 2 pairs of glasses and seemed to think this was very funny. I pushed my own pair further up my nose. She went on, serious again. I was soon to see the dentist and to be invited to a wedding. It was dangerous to do business with the person called Jay, Juan, or Juan Carlos, she thought. She gave me several more warnings. That I would have trouble with the law or officialdom, that 2 people had a grudge against me and would be dangerous in February or March, that I should be careful on my next journey or I could lose something important. I noted all these warnings feverishly, just as I do in the cinema when the hero has to memorize a car number plate or a telephone number or a secret code. She stopped talking. Handed me the piece of paper with the ink blots and instructed me to take it away, pour a little sugar in the centre, fold it 3 times and set fire to it. I was to do this whilst entirely alone. If I liked, I could make 3 wishes, but that was what she told the tourists, and she could see that I was a serious man. I must burn the paper, however.
And now you can ask 7 questions.
I hesitated, a little surprised to be granted any favour from the oracle, overwhelmed by the extent of her largesse. I was tongue-tied.
No matter, she continued. I know your questions. 1, shall I have good health? Yes, you will have good health, only small illness. 2, shall I live long? Yes, you will live very long. 3, how shall I die? It will be a bad death. 4, shall I be happy? This is a question I cannot answer. This is your matter. 5, shall I be rich? Yes, very rich. 6, shall I have children? You will have no more children.
Silence.
And my 7th question? You know it. Do you want to ask it?
Yes, I knew it. I wanted to ask it. Is she the right one? Should I marry her?
The witch shrugged her shoulders. If you ask this question, then you know the answer already.
I nodded. The consultation seemed to be over, and so I stood up.
How do I know if all that you tell me is true?
You pay me only 50,000 pesos. I tell you only the truth. If you want lies, then you must pay me 100,000 pesos. She dismissed me. I reached my hand over the desk to shake hers, but she did not respond. I turned and walked to the door. She called after me. There is one more thing you need to know. You have a lucky color, green. You don't know this, but it is important. Remember. Carmen flung her arms around my neck, as though I were returning from a war zone. She clung to me as my children used to do, as though she were a fridge magnet and I the fridge. She showered me with questions.
¿Cómo fue? ¿Qué te dijo? ¿Comprendiste todo?
I prized her off gently. She was very beautiful now. I kissed her, tenderly. Carmencita, mi amor, no te preocupes. I'll tell you everything later. I need some breakfast. Vamos, querida. All you need to know, for the moment, is that I shall live forever and my lucky colour is green. I drove back. The hangover had gone. I felt elated. I wound up the 206 to 6,000 revs on the freeway and smoked off a Chevy. Literally. Carmen shrank down into the passenger seat. I enjoyed making her nervous. The 1-litre engine howled in protest. Carmen screamed, "Red light! Joder!" I saw the red light at the same moment and slammed my foot down hard on the brake pedal. My foot went to the floor. I pumped the pedal. But we were through the lights. Carmen wrenched up the handbrake and I heard the cable twang as it snapped. A huge bull-nosed American truck crossed from the right and blocked out the horizon. The truck was green. I hauled the wheel round and flung the car into a skid. The world span full circle and then more, and we slammed into the side of the truck. When I came round, Carmen's eyes were closed. Her head was twisted at an unusual angle, as though she was looking over her shoulder. Her face looked like raw meat, with myriad shards of windscreen glass glittering on it. Blood was pumping out of her nostrils. The front near-side corner of the car had taken the full impact of the collision. I could not see her legs. They appeared to be covered by the crumpled front and side panels. I drifted back into oblivion. I cancelled my flight, rearranged my schedule back home in London, and stayed on for the funeral. It was the least I could do, but 2 weeks on crutches, with my right leg in plaster, in the pressure cooker of the family home, took me to the limit of my endurance. The memorial service was long and solemn, with oraciones familiares, Bible readings by various family members, and a cast of hundreds. Many of the mourners were in uniform. There was enough military security around the church to cover a royal wedding. Luis really was a buddy of the general's, it turned out. I sat in the second row of pews, next to Juan Carlos, Carmen's brother. His cheeks were hollow, and, like me, he had dark rings under his eyes, in his case, from grief. It was a short ride to the cemetery, which was fortified and immaculately maintained, like the houses of the prosperous. The shiny mahogany and brass coffin was lowered into the ground. I wondered what was actually in there, if anything at all. Eva wept with huge, plunging sobs throughout the ritual, comforted by her younger daughter, Patricia. The velorio, attended by family, close friends, and the generals, was at the Club Militar. The ham sandwiches reminded me of my own father's funeral in Sheffield. Eva perked up and put on a brave face. I got a little drunk. When the velorio was over, Juan Carlos drove Ava and me to the hospital. Ava went into the ward on her own. Juan Carlos and I talked to the doctor. He confirmed that Carmen would not walk again and that it was unlikely that she would regain movement in her arms. She was asleep. From the doorway to her room, in the dim lighting, there was a hint of her old beauty in the shape of her cheekbones. As I closed the door, she opened her eyes and attempted a smile. I kissed her gently above the hairline and sat by the bed for half an hour or so, in silence. Ava held Carmen's hand to her lips the whole time. I gestured to Juan Carlos to take her home. I told Carmen about the funeral and the velorio, about Juan Carlos's offer for the house, about my flight to Heathrow the following morning. I told her about the bomb that had been placed under the Audi at the airport. At the airport, for sure, because Luis was careful never to park his car in a public place. I think she heard me. I told her in Spanish. I stayed late till the nurse insisted I had to leave her. I leaned over and kissed her gently goodbye. She opened her eyes. "It's okay," she whispered in English. "I never loved you." At the hospital reception, I stopped to rest. I leaned against the wall and reached into my pocket for my phone and wallet. I looked in my wallet for the taxi company's card. The witch's paper was still there. I unfolded it. Ink blots and smudges. Nothing more. I still have the paper. I never did burn it.
I guess I've got everything. I wouldn't ask for, and there's no one I'd rather be. Life is the worst I've ever been born.
Lucky Colour was read by the author.